The United States needs a national certification program for cybersecurity professionals, according to some cyber experts. Sean Kern is an assistant professor of cybersecurity at the National Defense University, and he writes about what a cyber certification would include. Sean, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks this for doing it this afternoon. What kinds of cyber professions should have some kind of a certification or licensing process? That's where we'll start, Sean. Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you, Francis. I appreciate the opportunity to contribute today. Well, I usually like to start with the standards, and the current standard is the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework that has 7 categories and 31 different specialties. And I take that and I put that against something like the work of the Council on Cybersecurity, where they've identified what they call their critical roles, 10 critical roles in an organization, and they've mapped those. And so although all 31 of those specialties aren't absolutely critical to any given organization, there are some that are more so than others. And it really always comes down to risk, right? What are you willing to invest in to reduce your risk against any adversary trying to attack your intellectual property, your trade secrets, et cetera? So it can range anywhere from making sure that you've got senior executives that have an understanding of that level of risk, all the way down to penetration testers and red teamers that can come in and basically exercise your network and attack it like they were the adversary, identify those vulnerabilities, all the way to normal day-to-day system administrators that are doing the appropriate cyber hygiene efforts and implementing the standard best practices that we know of, by the way, but that we don't always implement as well as we should. And that's really the nature of why professionalization of the cybersecurity workforce is such an essential task for laying ahead for us.
I don't think there are many people that would argue with the concept of professionalization of the cybersecurity workforce, but why this particular kind of structure? You talked at an AFSEA event recently about, as Elias Sternstein and NextGov reported, a body akin to an American Medical Association.
Right.
Why does it look like that and not like what we have already?
Well, I would argue, Francis, that we don't have anything right now. There's no unifying strategy for the national cybersecurity workforce. There's a lot of excellent ad hoc independent initiatives that are going on across not only government but in private sector. You know, we have commercial certifying organizations that do a good job for what they're prepared to do. We've got excellent initiatives within government like NSA's and DHS's Centers of Academic Excellence accreditation criteria. But where is the unifying strategy that brings all of that together? That's what's missing, and that's why we need something like a national association, like an American Medical Association or American Bar. The reason that is not progressing naturally, or why you don't see the market creating that for us broadly, is because there's no single entity that has the credibility or resourcing that can stand up and say, I'm going to serve as the clearinghouse for professionalizing the cybersecurity workforce. Every entity that has access to cyberspace is vulnerable, and they all want higher and better cybersecurity, but no one is willing to invest individually because they'll likely fail in professional cybersecurity workforce. So you need a much broader national perspective to kind of bring that together. And so my recommendation actually is that we would pursue something like a federally funded research and development center as a basis to start.
So tell me about that progression. That's where we start. What does it look like at some point in the future?
Okay, so basically I like the traditional model of professionalizations, which says you're going to create a national recognized regulatory body, you know, like the AMA, like we said. You're going to establish member professional associations for each given specialty within that profession. So I would have a pen testing specialty, for example, under that body. I would develop a common knowledge, body of knowledge for each specialty, establish the required levels of training and education, certification, licensing requirements, maybe even as far as establishing apprenticeship, residency, or internship type requirements, and of course some code of ethics. So that's the traditional framework for professionalization. So what the FFRDC would do would be chartered to hit those 7 strategic areas. So imagine taking the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework, and you move that into the FFRDC for the FFRDC to manage as a clearinghouse. You take the NSA DHS Centers of Academic Excellence. You move that over. You grab some really great work that's going on out in the nonprofit sector with respect to cybersecurity, and you bring them in as partners, and you create this the center of gravity, if you will, for all of the things that are best practice. Because in our community right now, we spend a lot of time talking about best practice. But what you find in more mature professions is that best practice quickly becomes inculcated into the profession. And what once was best practice is now common practice. And we're not quite seeing that yet. And so that professionalization framework would enable that transition from best practice to common practice.
Lieutenant Colonel Sean Kern is Assistant Professor of Cybersecurity at the National Defense University. I guess the transition that I see here is primarily focusing on the money part, because who pays for it once, you know, obviously if the government is sponsoring it to start, that's we know where that money's going to come from, but it's got to come from some pot of money that exists, because nobody, I don't think anybody believes that we're going to get a couple of $100 million, or if we even need that much, just kind of out of whole cloth to develop a cybersecurity professionalization practice.
Right. Well, that's an interesting point. So I look at NIST's work right now with the National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence, where they're actually proposing a cybersecurity FFRDC, but it's focused on technology, not people. And they're looking at upwards of a 25-year vision with almost $5 billion earmarked for that investment. So there's significant, there appears to be an appetite for resourcing, you know, anything cybersecurity right now. But what you would see is, I would envision this FFRDC lasting about 10 years. You would see it building with partnerships with industry. So I look at the Business and Higher Education Foundation, BHEF, that's Fortune 500 CEOs and academia. Those are great touch points that FFRDC could engage. And then you would find other funding streams, the cyber insurance industry, or the insurance industry in general that has an interest in maybe providing cyber risk insurance would have a very significant interest in this, because if they can find a standard or find the things that work to reduce cybersecurity, then they're going to be, they'll be able to create the insurance mechanisms and the premium structures that we're accustomed to for any other insurance like car and life. They'll be able to reduce those premiums, and that will incentivize the market to improve their professionalization and then reduce their cost of operation.
I appreciate your analogies to the American Bar Association or the AMA. I wonder, though, let's look. Okay, we're talking about a 10-year sphere here, Sean. Let's think about 10 years ago in the cyber realm, and whatever the fields of excellence that we determined we needed then, I doubt many of them are still around today. How do you build this to be flexible enough that the specialties that you create today will be applicable or changeable as the cyber landscape evolves?
And that's a great point, Francis. In fact, the National Research Council's Committee on Professionalizing the National Cybersecurity Workforce actually identified the knowledge, skills, and abilities in the cybersecurity workforce are too immature, they're too broad, they're too deep to really consider a formal professionalization at this time. So that kind of gets to your point of, hey, you know, the jobs that exist now didn't exist 10 years ago, so now what? I think what you would find is there is a natural progression in what we, you know, if you want to call them foundational principles, that in each specialty that hold fast. So what's changing is the technologies are changing, but a lot of the principles aren't. And if you don't organize around a specialty now and you don't follow that progression, if you don't have a member association that can follow that progression and develop, then you're never going to be able to respond broadly to the kinds of issues that come up in cyber operations and cybersecurity for any organization. So if you don't organize and you allow for a natural progression, I think you're not going to have the sense of urgency or the coordinated effort that will be able to respond to the threat in a timely enough manner.
It sounds like if you use that approach too, Sean, it helps to mitigate the issue you were talking about earlier with NICE taking this, making this a technology approach where you're seeing more of a people approach. If you're focusing on the people, you can change the technology based on how the people situation changes.
Absolutely. We already know that we're in a technology cycle that's changing, you know, at a minimum every 18 months. We know that. Cybersecurity domain is not going to get less dynamic. It's not going to become more solid. It's going to remain fluid, and it's going to remain dynamic. And so you have to develop. In fact, I had a colleague of mine say, what you really need is an agile, flexible bureaucracy that can manage this. And I thought, what would that even look like?
And has that ever existed?
True. And So it almost defies the standard organizational principles for any large-scale complex problem, right? And so I think that's why you have to start with something federal, you know, so something that's the government-sponsored, where you can bring everybody together. That, oh, by the way, the value of an FFRDC, I mean, it's not-for-profit. You know, there's no conflict of interest. It's a trusted advisor. So you get the benefits of this kind of quasi-governmental organization that has the mandate to engage industry and academia. And if you go in with organizing principles to stay flat and lean, and I know that's a difficult, that's a tall order, then I think cybersecurity practitioners understand the need for that and would be able to honor that over the life of this organization.
Now, there are groups out there that do this kind of certification now privately, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation. Is there a role for groups like that in this kind of a structure, or does this Bigfoot them out of this business, at least for a time?
Right. Well, that, Francis, I'll tell you, I think from some of their perspectives, they may think that it might put them out of business. But let me tell you why that wouldn't be the case. Certifications provide real value. They help us assess the knowledge of an individual. So I don't see certifications ever really going away, but I do see them shifting. And so let me give you an example. I can go online, I can Google and find probably 5-10 different organizations that want to certify me to be a penetration tester. Now, is that helpful if I'm a human resources department and I'm trying to hire a penetration tester, and then I have to figure out which of those 5 or 10 certifications are the one I'm going to back, you know, and then expect the candidates to have that certification? Or take it from the cybersecurity practitioner perspective. I'm looking at my career development path and I'm trying to decide, you know, where do I want to go next? And now all of a sudden I have to decide, but what am I going to invest my time and resources in to attain one of these 5 or 10 certifications? What I'm proposing is that anybody that's involved with this particular specialty, I just use it as a simple example, would come together and develop a common body of knowledge together, you know, a best practice common body of knowledge. It would be hosted by a member association. So you've got this FFRDC that would spawn specialty associations for those members that would represent that specialty. And they together would codify a common body of knowledge. That's really common, by the way. And then those certifying organizations could choose to stay in that space and still offer commercial training opportunities. They could still be licensed by that member association to deliver the certification tests and be funded that way. You know, or they might say, hey, I'm going to move into another specialty area that has more space and more growth. Because if you just follow the framework that NICE proposes, there's 31 different specialties. So the potential for 31 certification regimes exists.
It's a terrific concept to look at and study, and I appreciate you coming on to explain it to us this afternoon, Sean. Thanks for your time. We'll look forward to having you keep us updated as you make progress on this.
I really appreciate that, Francis. Thank you so much.